It's the next gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. I'm here at the Frankfurt Auto Show in Frankfurt, Germany. I have the pleasure of being joined today by Anthony Lowe. He's design director for GME Advanced, General Motors Europe Advanced, the GM Europe Design Center. Anthony, it's a pleasure having you on the show today. Before we kind of talk about what's in the news, first give our audience a little bit of a background about yourself.
Okay, as Matt, you just said, I'm the design director for GM Europe Advanced Design. What we do, I think, in here is basically about all the concept cars for both Opel and Saab brands. Mm. And there are a lot of also internal concepts that we never show to anyone.
Really?
Apart from the top management, senior management in the company. Partly because there are, I would say, not that because we don't want to show it, but their process is very different. Mm. Make a concept car for an exhibition purpose, we focus on maybe perhaps more on the aesthetics part, on the internal concepts, much more on, say, things that needs to be more feasible for near-term production. Mm. Like we're talking about 3, 4, 5 years to get into production. And with concept, we have a little bit more freedom to think a little bit further ahead and so on.
You seem to be a pretty young guy. How long have you been in the automotive industry and as the design director for GME Advanced?
I have been in this business for just over 20 years.
Wow.
And I have been the design director for GM Europe for about 3 years.
Oh, great.
Now.
Okay.
But before that, I'm actually have not been with GM for that long time. Just before this job, I was with Saab, and Saab Design was actually a very independent run organization at that time. Mm. I joined Saab in about October 2000. Mm-hmm. As the advanced design chief designer for the Saab brand.
Were you working with Brian Nesbitt then?
No, I was working with Michael Mauer, who left already and went to Porsche.
Okay.
And Brian came basically after Michael left.
Uh-huh.
And we have a big reorganization.
I see.
Then after that, we merged together the operation mm-hmm. of Saab Design and Opel Design mm-hmm. to form what we call now the GM Europe Design.
Right. I was at the Detroit show and loved the Saab era. X. And as we're here today, we're talking about the Opel Flexstream,
yes.
Something that I'm sure you're equally as proud of.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is very much a project that we have been thinking about for many years, mm. and also with the technology. There was a lot of, development, as you know, with GM on fuel cell, on other forms of propulsion, hybrid and so on. But then I think in the January this year in Detroit, we presented the Volt, mm-hmm. the Chevrolet Volt.
Sure.
And this has, we have extremely good response from the public and media alike. And then we thought this would be perhaps the best basis to do our, say, eco concept car mm-hmm. for Opel.
Were you working on the concept though at the same time that
No, not at all.
So the Volt, in a sense, was the genesis for the Flexstream?
Exactly.
Ah,
I think that I would say that kind of inspired us a lot on based on that technology, mm-hmm. and we realized that also that there's a lot of flexibility in the E-Flex mm-hmm. concept. It's basically a powertrain system.
Right.
You can adapt to it's electric drive to start with, and you can have connect this to a generator powered by a gasoline engine, bioethanol, or even diesel, mm-hmm. which we have on the Flexstream
and
now.
That's one of the questions that I wanted to ask is how does this version, the European sister, if you will, of the Volt, differ than the Volt?
They actually, over the course of the last, 9 months, almost 9 months, there's been also parallel development on the feasible version of the Volt.
Mm-hmm.
So the proportion has somewhat changed a little bit. Mm. I don't know if you remember on the Volt, you can see on the demo chassis here, the generator engine, the gasoline engine, is positioned behind the front axle.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bit longer dash to axle,
right.
You have a shorter front overhang. And then, but in this case, you end up with maybe a not ideal interior roominess that perhaps is more important for the Opel car. So we, but then also during the development, we thought that the best way actually is to position the engine in front of the front axle again. So you get slightly different proportion. You increase the interior roominess given the same, say, outer dimension.
But in terms of the propulsion systems, they are the same?
The car, as I said, is driven by electric engine. It's also powered by the same lithium-ion batteries. But the main difference is that the generator, the engine, so to say, is powered by a diesel, a small compact diesel engine.
Yeah,
it's a 1.3 liter diesel engine. And this is the, instead of the gasoline engine that's on the boat.
And here in Europe, you are under different environmental standards. CO2 emission is a big thing right now.
The basically, because it's electric drive, you can actually drive 50 kilometers in a day without using even the engine. The engine will stay basically not running. Because you charge your car at home, it's a plug-in hybrid system. And then when it's fully charged, you can run up to 55 kilometers. The idea is that during the day, most people would not be driving more than 55 kilometers in Europe. Then you can actually drive the car totally emission-free, and then you go home and plug it in again. Or you have maybe, if you are people who are, say, have a longer commuting distance, you might need to arrange a plug-in also at the other end, at your office or at your parking place the other end.
9 months, that's a pretty short time to actually bring this concept from a design studio to an actual grand opening. I'm amazed, actually.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, so hope that my boss will be listening now. This is almost, I would say, the usual time we need to do a concept car of this type is about 58 weeks, so about 13 months. Altogether 13 months, but then this is, say, from a blank sheet of paper from the day the car comes out, that's 13 months of the workshop. In this case, we have actually less than 9 months. If you think about it, Detroit, around middle of the January, we decided that this is the right type of car. Then we have to start to think about, okay, what is a E-Flex concept car for Opel? Then that the first part, I would say, the first 2 months we kind of invested time and did our research and so on. And then you have, in the end, about 6 months left because the time we have to finish because the show is really near the beginning of September. So in the end, it's about 8 months altogether. So 6 months to develop all the model development work, interior, exterior, and then to build the car. This is all together within 6 months.
That's incredible.
That's really quite short.
What is your inspiration for the vehicle? Where do some of the design elements, where were they born out of?
Yeah, earlier this year in Geneva Motor Show, we have presented the GTC concept for Opel. This car is a showcase for, the next generation Opel design language. We have, it's a step definitely in a very different direction compared to what we've been working on, but we're not trying to say change everything in overnight. There are a few areas like the grille, maybe a little bit on the lamps as well, that we don't want to change the face so much that people can't recognize it's an Opel anymore. But that was kind of the starting point, and then we took kind of using a lot of the design cues that were developed on that on the GTC concept, like the side blade feature on the body side, very sculpted body surfacing, and on the interior there's a wing concept that connects the instrument panel to the doors and so on. So that was kind of the starting point, but then we also look at what is the most iconic body style for Opel brand. And the first thing that came to our mind was the monocap body style, because we have been very successful with the Zafira. So we thought that this would be a very, very good starting point to use overall form language in proportion is somewhat close to a monocap.
How many styles, if I can use that word, did you go through before you got to the final design that you are with now?
We have in the end, very little time, we built two scale models.
Wow.
Then from these two, we pick one and then develop into full size.
In terms of concepts, they show us what is possible, and sometimes what is possible never really comes to fruition. Taking a look at this vehicle, the roof probably won't stay the same. Can you talk about what you expect to be different in a production vehicle and what you expect to remain the same?
Well, at this point in time, we have not made any commitment or plans to put this particular car in production.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm sure maybe after the show, somebody will start to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would say there are different types of concept cars. Maybe I can talk in this way that this will be in the category of a true concept. It's a totally new type of car, so to say. And we, of course, as a design team, this is kind of the type of car we believe in, and we believe this will be a great addition to the current Opel portfolio.
And while you're not head of Opel or anything, can you talk about the fact that there is a commitment from GME to bring this type of a propulsion platform to this continent, as General Motors has expressed the commitment as well to bring the Chevy Volt to the North American market?
Yeah, I think there are different, of course, in the environment is slightly different, like the propulsion system. I just mentioned that it's the diesel engine generating power instead of gasoline engine. But at the same time, we also very much committed to bring the E-Flex propulsion system to Europe. In what format exactly, we have no decision at this point.
Mm.
Whether this will be a car like the Flexstream or maybe a car closer to the Volt is something we need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I can tell you is that in the Volt project is basically the lead project, so to say. We are also working closely together with the team in US, but anything that is developed will come here. It's not, we are basically supporting from design and also the little bit of expertise part of it in terms of the actual platform itself, the architecture itself. We have a little bit more experience in that size, so to say, in a compact size.
What do you like most about the vehicle? What's your favorite part?
Well, I think the most striking part for me is the front end. I think this really, for designers, this is really the face of the vehicle, and I think the face is the first part that kind of attracts you.
Mm.
And it has to be very much connected to the brand. At the same time, it has to be, as a concept car, bringing out now in 2007, it has to be really fresh looking. And so to say, it's, everything has been tried already by everybody.
Mm.
Everyone's trying so hard to bring something new. But I think we manage here something really quite fresh and simple, and I think it's very easy to recognize, which is also very important that you can remember a face, and also the way it's done is very much related to the technology underneath as well, and what we also think about this efficiency message that we want to bring with this car. It's not just the powertrain or the E-Flex powertrain system put in this car, but also all the things around it, especially on the front. This you can see very well, like we're talking about how to improve aerodynamics.
Mm.
You know, aerodynamics is something actually is really making a comeback now. We have been talking about aerodynamics perhaps in the 80s, a little bit in the 90s, and then somehow every car became aerodynamic.
Mm.
And then we just stopped talking about it.
Right.
ABS and automatic and
Well, so on that, you bring up something that I did kind of want to just ask you about, and I want you to kind of talk about some of the specifics of the vehicle. One thing in particular is like the coefficient of drag.
Yeah.
What is that number,
and
did you work quite hard to get that as low as possible? We look at the Volt and we think it's possible the form may have to change because there is a concern that maybe the CD is a little high.
So. I think the we have not done an actual physical test in a wind tunnel, but we've done simulations. As you know, I think simulations software are very sophisticated these days.
Exactly.
I think most of the Formula One teams,
which is great, you don't have to do
everything.
It in a wind tunnel.
Exactly.
You can do it right on a.
Because I think in our process, as I said, we have only a few months to do a project. We basically develop the model, send the math data to the aerodynamic team, simulation team in the GM Europe, and they basically run the test. And then we get some feedback, say perhaps it would be good if we lift the rear edge of the vehicle a little bit or stiffen up the rear glass a little bit, we can improve by a few counts, and so to say. So we have done a couple of loops with this input, and the latest figure is showing a 0.25
CD. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah.
But that's actually has a lot of reasons why that contributed to the good figures, because we have a complete flat floor, which I think not every car in production car in production today has a flat floor. And then you have also, we are able to have very thin tires on this car. It's a 195 profile thin by today's standard, especially developed tires, low friction material as well. I think the tires contributed when it's rolling. And then also the fact that we have on the front end, we covered quite a few areas with a transparent lens, so to say. On the grill, normally you have a grill and a lower intake, but in this car, since we have only a small engine and most of the time it's not running, the cooling area can be reduced dramatically. So we have just a small intake, and the grill, because we don't want to take away the grill, because that's really identical, also closed and sealed totally, so you get a really smooth airflow. And also on the lamps, and reduce all the steps and offsets you can have. And then the other trick part we did on the is on the wheels. On the wheels, we have a very nicely designed, lightweight alloy wheels, but normally the best design wheel for aerodynamic purposes is a flat disc. You can see in some racing cars, Indy cars, they're all very just totally flat. But then I think on a production car, especially on a concept car, I think the flat disc is not a kind of aesthetics that we would like to show. But we found a good solution. We designed a wheel how we want it. We integrate a transparent cover on the wheel. But this is basically the concept around it. Exactly the material and how to integrate it is somewhat we didn't think into such details. But you will see this on the car, and this is exactly, so you get a kind of very flush side as well. And then also, of course, we made reduce all the offset between the side glass and the frame and the door frame. The other significance, you'd be surprised how much actually the exterior door mirrors are actually very affecting the aerodynamics. There are different shapes and so on. I think most door mirrors today in production, they're already optimized, but there are certain size limitations, so we decided to take it out altogether. We use cameras instead.
Because
I think one thing with cameras today, I think thanks a lot very much to the digital camera industry, mobile phone, we're able to get high quality, high resolution camera in a very small size.
Well, and this kind of brings up then, you know, one of my final questions here. As a designer, and you said this earlier that, you know, everybody's done everything, you know. So as a designer, what excites you right now in the automotive industry? What are you seeing right now that really excites you? Is it the technology like you were just talking about with like digital things like that? Or is it the more leaning towards these environmentally greener products? What excites you?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I would say what motivates us as designers, it's really the challenge ahead. You know, every year there's something new that we have to deal with, like safety, like crash safety, the whole front end will need to be somewhat different. So we'd like to see how we can be part of that. And also I think the environmental issues bring us really a lot of opportunities.
And I think styling actually kind of has to be
absolutely
first, particularly with a green,
exactly,
an eco-friendly
car. So that's
car.
Why I think that's really the interesting part. How can we very good styling, very good stance, and very, you know, aesthetically attractive.
With the demands of the environmental coefficient of dragon, in a sense, that we're talking about. Well, let's wrap up. We hear they're doing some sound checks here and whatnot. So give me your final thoughts about the release of the Opel Flexstream.
It's very exciting. We really, I think, it's difficult to see for me now to tell you how this car would be received, because I'm very familiar with this car, so I've seen this car now for more than 6 months, so to say. So I think everyone will believe in it and believe also in the ideas that went into it. There are a lot of really, really, really clever details that it's better that we are sitting in the car, that I can perhaps explain to you, like all the technology that went into it to make life easier for the driver. You can customize the interior, the display, and so on. And then also the concept of door opening, and also the integration with the Segway in the back of the vehicle. Or we have two Segways actually, specially built to be in the back of the vehicle. I think to see all that now and be able to show you, I think I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. And also I think I really do hope that many of the ideas that what you see in the Flexstream will one day be appear in a production car or production cars.
Well, we will look forward to it. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
You must be very, very thrilled and proud, and I salute the effort of you and your whole team to put something together in such a short amount of time. Really, for me, it's just remarkable, even standing on the outside here. Anthony Lowe, Design Director for GME Advanced, the GM Europe Design Center. It's a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
For the next year green, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.